Once again, good morning. I'm so thankful for the blessing that we have received of God of having the health to be here. I'm certain that we will have the blessing as well for being here. Because of God's love in revealing to us His will, God purposed His will for man, for us to know Him in a way that no other creature that He made is capable of doing that. God created us capable of rendering to Him honor in a way that no other creature is capable of, and that is through free will obedience. No other creature can do that. The highest form of honoring God is willing obedience to the things that He has commanded. Just want to mention the wording in the opening prayer that really sums up what I've tried to accomplish in these six lessons. We were not made for this world, but we were made to be with You. I appreciate that. That's the message I'm trying to get across. Yes, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. That God purposed that. And so I appreciate that, the song we've just sang. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Can you identify and readily answer how you've proved Him time and again? How have you proved Him? I submit to you the only way you can do that is in obedience. And that's why God gave us His will. That's why we have our Bible. God loved us, so He communicated to us, and we can understand that. I've challenged you this weekend to not be scared to grow spiritually. Don't be fearful of it. It's going to call upon you to make changes, but don't be scared to make those changes. Have faith in God that those changes are the only way you're going to escape Satan and hell. Obedience is a thing that has been blasphemed and put in such a light as if it's practically evil. But I'm telling you, obedience, until that got through to me, that what God wants out of me to obey Him. That's the best, highest thing that I can do in honoring Him. If that's what I want to do, and that is, then take Him at His word, but obey that word. Your life is never going to turn around until you commit to obedience. That's what I've tried to get across to you. Don't be scared to do that. You're going to have firm conviction. You're going to have a real hope. And that's going to come through spending a lot of time learning the Bible. It's going to take time. You're going to have to commit time. You're going to have to spend a lot of time in the Bible. That's the only way your life is ever going to turn around. I can't visibly give you evidence other than my own life, and you're not going to see me on a daily basis. But I'm as certain of that as I am standing before you. I commit you to put forth that effort to educate yourself, exercise your senses in one area, know right from wrong. You're never going to turn your life around. You're always going to be intending. You're going to live a life of intentions, and you're going to be found wanting when you die or when the Lord returns. Again, you were made to be with Him. God purposed eternal life for us. So this morning, we're going to be talking about the things that God prepared as it relates to the church. If you have your Bibles, let's begin in the second chapter of Acts. This was the first sermon that was preached following the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find in Acts chapter 2, as we're going to take up here in verse 22, that Peter says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs, which God performed through him in your midst, just as ye yourselves know. This man was delivered up by a predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. But God raised him from the dead. God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. There's two things that I want you to glean from this text. Number one, there was preparation, and there was plan. But now, when did this begin? And what was the plan? If you look back again at verse 23, the answer is given for us. It was predetermined and in God's foreknowledge. We're told that he was delivered up according to a definite plan and foreknowledge of God. Now, when did God purpose Jesus to die? As I've listened to a lot of preaching out in the public, in the denominational sector, and sadly, in the Lord's church, the general consensus is that God created man, man sinned, and God was moved to pity after this happened. And basically, from a human standpoint, says, I feel so sorry for him, I think I'll help him. And God sent his son. I submit to you, it was the other way around. Jesus was purposed to die before we ever existed. The passage that I referred to in this morning's Bible study in Titus 1, verse 2, eternal life was promised before the foundation of the world. God knew how he was going to make us. Being made in his image, God made us capable of freely choosing. Yes, I will do what you say, or no. But God wants us to be with him. So God planned a way and how he would accomplish that. Even though we have lost that right, out of God's love, he has purposed a way that we can regain access to that eternal life. So Jesus was delivered up according to God's foreknowledge. He foreknew this need for us, and he provided a way whereby we might be reunited to him. The Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18 in connection with this that Jesus was foreknown before the foundation of the world. Yet, Peter says it was made manifest, this foreknowledge, not before the foundation of the world, but in the last times for your sake. Now, who's Peter writing to? Peter's not writing to alien sinners. We stress that when we talk about context. Don't take a passage that was written to sinners and apply it to Christians. Well, don't take a passage that was written and addressed to Christians and apply it to sinners. Who was Peter writing to here? Whose sake was it manifested? For our sake. The phrase foreknown before the foundation of the world tells us of this preparation. As we read in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, this was something that was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. Jesus left heaven with a specific purpose and plan in mind. It was purposed to occur by God. It was according to a definite plan, as we mentioned in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. He was delivered up according to the definite plan of God. It wasn't an unforeseen thing. I'm sure you've heard of the teaching that Jesus came down here intending to set up his kingdom. But sadly, his own people rejected him, and so he kind of resorted to plan B, and he set up the church. But now, buddy, when he comes back the next time, he's going to do what he intended to do. No. Jesus came and did exactly what was purposed to do. He said, I will build a church, my church. And as we read from Genesis, as we go through, we find that that's exactly what was done. Elsewhere we read about this definite plan and foreknowledge of God. If you simply want, here's a brief comparison of wording in various translations. We're talking about in the foreknowledge of God and this definite plan of God, we're talking about a set purpose, not a random purpose, a set purpose. This was prefixed, if you will. It was a determined purpose, God's determined plan. There was plan and order to it, as we're going to see. It was predetermined, it was definite, there was no afterthoughts, no changes that had to be made. God's will was going to be accomplished. The beauty of it is that those who are in Christ, we are the recipients of everything that God purposed. Those who have accepted Christ at His Word and made Him their Lord, they're the recipients of God's loving kindness. As we go through back through the Scriptures, we find many references in the Bible about this definite plan that God had to restore man to the position that he had, to have this eternal life that was purposed and promised before the foundation of the world. David made the statement many times when he was in flight from Saul early in his life. He said, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. God had a purpose for David. David's role was not going to be to die on the cross for our sins. That was not his purpose. But God had a purpose for putting David in as king, putting him on the throne. And we read in the book of Acts that when David had fulfilled the purpose of God for him, David died. And I submit that's true of you and me. We have a purpose. I don't know if you folks are familiar with the song, Born to Serve the Lord. That's what we were born. We were born to serve the Lord. God knows what we will do with our life. We were put here to serve Him. We have a purpose, as we're going to see in a moment, from the 9th chapter of Romans. We're either a vessel of wrath or we're a vessel of mercy. But God will use us if we're not going to ever obey. We're going to be a person of intentions, but we don't want to give up. We don't want to make the necessary changes. God will still use us, perhaps, to lead someone else to Christ. Maybe a lot of pain and a lot of problems, but God will use us. If you think about Pharaoh back in the days of Moses, Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath. God elevated him. God promoted him. But as we're going to see from Romans the 9th chapter, Pharaoh was a vessel of wrath. God used him to show His power. And when He was done with Pharaoh, what did He do with Pharaoh? He removed him. King Nebuchadnezzar was a vessel of wrath in God's hand. But yet Nebuchadnezzar prospered at the hand of God. Not because God approved of what he was doing, but God had a purpose to create the church. Nebuchadnezzar was a puzzle piece toward that. And so was David. David understood there was a reason why he was where he was at this time. We find in Psalms, the 138th chapter, verse 8, again, the statement made that the Lord fulfills His purpose for me. He does that with you, and He does that with me. How God deals with us, we determine that by our obedience or our lack of it. You don't want to obey God? God, you're not going to thwart God's will. God says a man will be saved by an obedient faith. That's never going to change. That's always been the case. The commands varied down through time, but salvation was based upon faith and trust in His Word and compliance that was brought out. We read in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked. Now, that is not saying that God created wickedness. Wickedness was created because of disobedience. But God will use disobedience. God used Pharaoh's stubborn heart to show His power at the same time bringing His people forth He created this nation through Abraham, as he mentioned in chapter 12, for a specific purpose, in harmony with his overall purpose to bring the church into existence. That was God's goal, to create a saved people, a ransomed people, through his Son. And the story of the Bible is the gradual unfolding of that. Again, we read in the 19th chapter of Proverbs, verse 21, "Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to stand." No matter what you do, you're not going to change what God has said. This is how salvation will occur. Death is going to occur because it is appointed for man to die. But eternity is purposed for those who are wise enough to recognize the value of His Word and see that what I need to do with His Word is conform my life to it. The prophet Isaiah made this statement, or God made this statement through the prophet Isaiah, "I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done." He did that through the prophets. But he said he did that, declaring from the end from the beginning and from ancient time, things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Pharaoh couldn't stop it. The Assyrian kingdom couldn't stop it. The Canaanites couldn't stop it. Those who attacked the Israelites in the wilderness, the Persians, nobody could stop. God put kings in power and God removed power. He used their disobedience to show His justice and His mercy for those who feared Him. Chapter 55 of the book of Isaiah, verse 11, talking about His Word. He says, "The word that goes forth out of my mouth, it will never, ever return unto me empty, but it will accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the thing which I do it." God's word, Jesus' teaching, was purposefully done. He answered people, as I opened up Friday night. Jesus purposefully answered. He carefully answered people to reveal to them their motive. That's what truth does. And a lot of people don't like what they see. James talks about when we look into the mirror of God's Word. A lot of people are scared to study because they're scared of what they're going to find out about themselves. Don't be afraid to conform and change your life. You will be happy for it. It will solidify your faith. It will make your hope steadfast and sure. And you will know, I'm ready. I understand why I'm here. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, I don't have it in my overheads. What is man's duty? Fear God and keep His commandment. Don't be terrified of His punishment. Fear Him. Respect Him. You respect God in the highest way when you submit your life to the will of His Son. So from these passages we can see that God's purpose was set forth. It was going to be fulfilled. All those prophets in the Old Testament talked about that there was going to be a Messiah come. Nothing was going to happen by no earthly king and no earthly kingdom that would prevent that promise God made through Abraham. Through you, all nations are going to receive a blessing. That was not going to be stopped, and it wasn't. Now, as we turn to the book of Romans, we've noticed these other two passages in Acts and Proverbs. Romans, the 9th chapter. I want to briefly look at this, begin in verse 22. Paul here asked a question in his discourse here about the creator analogy. Talks about the potter. Let's back up to verse 21. "Doesn't a potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and yet another for common use?" God, as creator, can make us whatever He desires. He's purposed how we will be. We'll be a vessel of honor or a vessel of dishonor, a vessel of wrath. In this manner, God gave commandments to us. If I accept them and conform my life to them, He will use me as a vessel of honor. If I refuse, as Pharaoh, to submit to those commands, He'll still use me, but I will be a vessel of wrath in His hand. But His will go forth. Someone will be converted by my life. But in the end, what will my reward be? This is why it's important to recognize the value of God's commands. Your life is not going to change until you understand and commit to obedience to the gospel. Verse 22, what if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, what if He endured with much patience vessels of wrath? But what were they prepared for? God's purposed. You want to be a vessel of wrath? You will suffer destruction. Remember Friday night? Hosea said, my people have suffered destruction. Why? Ignorance. You want to be ignorant of the Bible? You don't want to address the Bible? You are a vessel that was prepared for destruction. But God desires all of us to be saved. It's our choice. You want to deal with that in the right way? I encourage you. Become obedient. Commit to obedience. Verse 23. And He did that very thing. It was not a question in verse 22. What if God did that? Now, did He? Well, yes, verse 23. He did that. He did so for a particular reason. It was not just to see what will happen if I do this. God knew what would happen. His will is set. His word will accomplish. It is a two-edged sword. It will cut both ways. It will approve your life, or it will convict you of your sin. It will reveal your heart. Doesn't make your heart good. It reveals whether your heart is good. And if you want to maintain that good heart, it will come out through obedience. It's just that simple. But He did so in order that He might make known the riches of His glory. The riches of God's glory were not purposed for all humanity. Only purposed for those who fear Him and keep His commandments. But God did that to make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy. Not for the vessels of wrath, for the vessels of mercy. But notice, He prepared vessels of mercy beforehand for glory. God purposed, if you will be obedient, Adam, this is the reward. This is the glory that you will have. As the brother prayed, we were not made for this world. We were made to be with Him. Now, we've lost that right. But praise God, we have a way to get back. How? God gave us commandments. If you want to write another passage down that's not on the overhead, the words of Moses to the second generation of the Israelites, the ones who were going to make Canaan, he said in Deuteronomy 6, verses 24 and 25, it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments that God gave at Mount Sinai. We're not righteous. We never will be, those who have sinned. We will never be righteous. But righteousness is only in the words of God. God's commandments are righteous. And when an unrighteous man obeys a righteous command, righteousness is imputed to that unrighteous man. And therefore we are regarded as righteous in God. That's a blessing. That's grace. We don't deserve that. We didn't deserve God. He could have purposed eternal life for the animals. He didn't have to do it to us, but He made a free choice. When I make man, we were the last creature God made. And God purposed, when I make man, I'm going to make him in my image and I want him to live on and on. He could have made that decision for the animals, but He didn't. He put us over this creation. We have been given dominion. Did God love us? What was man that He was mindful of us. But God giving us dominion over His creation, that's not what God wants for us. As the prayer wording was, He desires us to be with Him. And that was purposed to be accomplished in one way. Obedience. And so God revealed His will to us. That's our Bible that we have. And so, we're a vessel of wrath or we're a vessel of mercy. Notice the order within this plan. As Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3, talking about the church. The church was not an afterthought. The church was purposed to come into existence in a particular way. And it involved God's Word. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 5. We were predestined for adoption as sons through Christ. This was the purpose of His will. This is why Jesus taught. Predestination is taught in the Bible. The predestination that we would be adopted, and we will have that adoption at His return. We trust and believe that it is so as He has said. At His appearing, our hope is that our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, that will occur. We accept it by faith because we trust. God said it, it's going to happen. In Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning in verse 9, really this beginning in verse 1, but I, for time's sake, begin verse 9, making known to us the mystery of His will according to His purpose. It was purposed for us to understand why all the things that happened in the Old Testament, they happened according to a plan. It was a schedule, if you will. I've asked in many of the classes, do you know why that back in the Garden of Eden, when sin was committed, why did Jesus not die? Why was He not sent to take care of sin right then? Why did God wait and wait and wait for His Son to come into the world? And why was there that lapse of time? Because it was a schedule. God purposed it to happen. In the meanwhile, what do we learn about God from this nation? Why did God make a nation of Abraham? Because that's how He was going to bring His Son in. God purposed it to happen a certain way. And we learn about God's justice and mercy and how He dealt with that nation of Abraham through Isaac. It happened according to a plan and according to a schedule. And so Paul is talking about this in chapter 3. All this was made known in the preaching of the gospel by the apostles. It was according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan that would really reach final accomplishment in the fullness of time. You recall Paul wrote to the Galatians that in the fullness of time God sent forth His Son. Well, back in Abraham's day, the time wasn't right. In David's day, the time wasn't right. David had a purpose, but the cross was not going to happen in David. David would never see. Isaiah would never see. The prophets would never see what they spoke about. But they believed it. And they proclaimed that. But it was going to happen in the fullness of time. Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans and he said, in due time, that is, at the right time, Christ died. The time wasn't right in the Garden of Eden. God purposed it that way to happen. We are the recipients of all that because the mystery of how all these things unravel in the preaching of the gospel, we understand what happened and why. Again, for those who would be obedient, these things occur. In chapter 3 of Ephesians in verse 11, this was according to the eternal purpose. But notice he says here, this purpose has been realized. Christ. What does that mean? It means it's been accomplished in Christ. Christ has done some things that has caused this plan that had been in the works since the foundation of the world. It's realized through Christ. It existed before time, but Christ has accomplished it. Paul wrote to Timothy about this, and he worded it this way, that we were saved and called to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of His own purpose and grace, which He gave us in Christ before the ages began. God purposed us to be saved in Christ before we ever existed. Just like if you go back and read more in Romans chapter 9, talking about the birth of Jacob and Esau, it was purposed before those boys were born which would serve the other. They were not born, but God purposed. Esau will serve Jacob. The elder will serve the younger. That was before they were born. And before we existed, God purposed eternal life in Christ. Before we had done evil. Before we had ever received a revelation and done good. Before either of those things. Eternal life was purposed for us to have in Christ. That's been realized. And so this was before the ages began. And so accordingly, we find Jesus making these statements when He was here on earth. For example, in John, the 12th chapter, in verse 27, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose, I have come to this hour." Jesus understood. That's why He endured what He did. He understood. He came to this earth understanding, I have a mission. Now, it's about to be finalized. I'm about to have my earthly life come to an end. Shall I pray for deliverance from it? This is why I came. This was what was purposed. In the conversation with Pilate, in John the 18th chapter, verse 37, Pilate says to Jesus, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into this world, to bear witness to truth." And truth is what brought the church into existence. Everyone who is of the truth, what do? How is it visible? Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice, necessarily implying they obey. My sheep hear my voice, and they're my sheep because they do as I say. Jesus said, John 14, verse 15, how do you express your love? If you love me, keep my commands. And so we have, kindly in summary, as we go from Genesis up to the establishment of the church, we find the first reference in our Bibles that God was going to bring Christ into the world. How? What was the process, if you will? We were told that He would be of the seed of woman. And so Eve started bearing children. We get to chapter 12, we find that God made an oath to Abraham, and He kept that oath. And you and I are the recipients. We benefit from that oath. Nothing stopped God from fulfilling that oath. Yes, He made a threefold oath. He said, "Abraham, I'm going to make a great nation out of you." But He did that with the purpose of saving us. And He said, "I'm going to give this nation a land." But He did that because He planned to save us through Christ. And that's why He said, through this nation, I will bring my Son into the world through whom all nations will be blessed. And so God protected this nation. He punished those who were disobedient, who did not believe. We find that abundantly taught in the book of Hebrews, mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10. Some of them were idolaters, some believed not, and so forth. They never entered the rest that God intended for them. But God's purpose was fulfilled. So He never ultimately destroyed this nation in the sense that all died to where there was no seed. Because He told Abraham, through you, all will receive a blessing. And so this promise, this oath, was repeated to Abraham's son Isaac, to Isaac's son Jacob. We find it mentioned in the 49th chapter of Genesis in the statement about Judah. The lion of the tribe of Judah would come. The scepter would not depart. God kept his word. Because he said, eternal life was my promise to man. And thus we find said of David in Acts chapter 2, what was said of him. David was put on the throne. David had a purpose. And so when we get to Christ, in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, we find it said about Christ, about this allegory between the two women in the covenants, one from Mount Sinai bearing children, which is Abraham. Verse 14. That which was a trial to you in my bodily condition. Well, I'll get it right in a minute. Chapter 3, verse 14. I apologize. Chapter 3, verse 14. In order that through Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. This is realized in Christ. And that's what Paul is saying here. Christ Jesus, the blessing of Christ, of Abraham, which was Christ, comes through faith. In chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, that's why we read, when the fullness of time then arrived, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman under the law, in order that those under the law might be redeemed and receive this adoption as son. And so things happen according to a plan. And again, in Galatians, the third chapter, verses 26 through 29, we find, you are all sons of God, Jew or Gentile. It's realized. You are sons through your faith. You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. That's not a physical thing. But have you put on Christ? There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ. That was what God purposed. Sin has divided. The enmity that I spoke of last night, it's perpetual. Those who don't want to serve God are going to persecute and cause problems because they want to sin. And it's going to cause problems for those who don't. But God will protect those. And He will use those who do serve Him as a vessel of mercy to draw those vessels of wrath to God. But they're going to have to come in the same way, through faith and obedience. And so this is the little summary of it. The purpose for Abraham. Romans chapter 4, verse 11. Abraham was given a sign of circumcision, we're told, as a seal of the righteousness that he had through faith when he was yet uncircumcised. The purpose. Why was Abraham circumcised? The purpose was to make Abraham the father of all who would believe without being circumcised. Why? So that righteousness would be counted to them as well. How is righteousness accounted to me? When I manifest the same attributes that Abraham did, I take God at His word and I do what God commands of me. The Hebrew writer then says, so when God desired to show the more convincingly to the heirs of the promise, who were the heirs of the promise? The promise had reference to the promise God made to Abraham, that I will bless all nations through you. That comes as those in the world turn their life to the Lord. That's the heirs. Those who have obeyed the gospel. And so God says here, when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise the unchangeable character of His purpose, He guaranteed it with an oath that has reference to Abraham. Who are the benefactors of this oath to Abraham? Who benefits from that? Those who have obeyed the gospel. And thus, this wording in Romans 8 and verse 28, which is so misapplied, I hope you can understand and appreciate. For those who love God, things work together that good might be accomplished for those who were called according to his purpose. This verse is so often used as if it reads this way: we know that all things work together for good. The little phrase, for those who love God, is kindly thrown out. Now, all things work together for good, not for those who do evil, but for those who love God. And how do we love God? We keep his commandments. All things will turn out for your spiritual benefit, for your salvation. So what was God's purpose for the heirs? Salvation from sin. James talked about it in his epistle. Since this is now realized, again, the song we sang, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Have you done that? Can you identify anything in your life that you can say, when I did this, I proved that what God said, it has been seen in my life? James was writing to Christians here who had proved the Lord time and again. And he said, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how a farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. He's confident. A farmer is. Being patient about it until he receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how that the Lord is passionate and merciful. The Bible talks about we're saved in patience. Trials are necessary to make our faith strong. Don't be scared to have your faith put under trial. You have to have that. We talk about growth pains. They are necessary. Life is not going to be a bed of roses when you give your life to Christ, because you understand your reward is not now. We were not made for this world. We were made to be with him. That is a certain reward. Do you believe in it? Do you have a steadfast hope about that? There was purpose, preparation, and planning for our salvation. As the apostles went into all the world, they preached. They set forth the pattern by which we can have access to this eternal life in Christ. There is a form of doctrine that corresponds to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. What did you do when you got saved? What were you told? Were you preached the form of doctrine that the apostles preached? That's what God purposed. The revelation of the mystery of how we can be reunited into fellowship with God through Christ comes through this form of doctrine. Only when we obey that form of doctrine will we be made free from sin and become servants of righteousness. And I pray that would be your will this morning. Hope the lesson has been beneficial. Examine yourself as we prepare to sing a song that will remind us and give us an opportunity to respond if our lives are not in order. Are you certain of heaven? Do you have hope of heaven? The church was purposed and planned. It's been realized. Everything has been accomplished. It's up to you to accept Christ at his terms. I hope you'll be able to leave confident that I know what it took. I'm confident that I've been pardoned. I understand that. And it's my desire to live for Christ. But if that's not the case, I encourage you to come forward in belief, repenting of your sins, confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and be united to his blood in the waters of baptism. If you've done that, he's not been your Lord. You have an opportunity. He says, if you will confess your sins, repent of it, I will forgive. Do you believe the Lord? Do you trust in Jesus? Will you trust and obey? If so, let it be known as together we stand and sing.